we take our weekly look at the top stories in national politics. It's been a week of conflict between House Democrats and the White House on a few different fronts. Congressional committees are seeking President Trump's tax returns, the unredacted Mueller report, and have voted to hold the attorney general in contempt after he refused to comply with the terms of a hearing with lawmakers. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think Democrats in Congress should get to look at the president's tax returns or the full version of the Mueller report? What do you think about these conflicts over investigations and subpoenas? What do you think they're showing about the balance of power in our government? And do you agree with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell when he says Congress should move on from the Mueller investigation? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Amanda Turkle is the Washington Bureau Chief for the Huffington Post. Amanda, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, before we get into specific items, Amanda, there's this conflict between House Democrats and the White House over basically all the stuff, right?
Right, over everything. And so far, the White House has not complied with any of the House Democrats' subpoenas or demands. And this is making Democrats pretty angry, including ones who weren't necessarily in favor of going down the road of impeachment, are now starting to say, look, it looks like we might not have any more choice. It seems Trump is sort of goading us into this, but you know, the stakes have been raised considerably now.
Now we have this latest news. The House Judiciary Committee voted just this afternoon to hold Attorney General Bill Barr in contempt of Congress. What's this all about?
Right. This happened just a few minutes ago. It was a party line vote of 24-16. And House Democrats wanted Bill Barr, the attorney general, to hand over the full Mueller report, not the redacted version the public saw, but the full version and the underlying materials. The Justice Department said no. It offered a slightly less redacted version to a group of lawmakers, but they didn't want to comply and hand over everything. Democrats still wanted it. And so Trump, at the request of Bill Barr, invoked executive privilege, which is something the president can do, simply saying that, you know, this is privilege material and releasing it would get in the way of me doing my job and my constitutional duties, or we're not going to give it to you. And so Democrats voted to hold Bill Barr in contempt today.
Now, this is just a committee. Does the whole House have to vote then to do that, to have contempt actually be the real deal?
Yes. Right now, it's just the committee. It's expected to go to the floor. It's expected to pass because Democrats have a majority there. But, you know, what happens after that? I mean, you know, Congress, you know, in theory, defying a congressional subpoena is a misdemeanor crime. You can get 1 to 12 months in jail. But I mean, who's going to carry that out? Congress doesn't really have like a law enforcement arm. And they historically can use something called inherent contempt authority to detain someone, but they haven't tried to do this since 1935. They can order the Justice Department to go after someone for in court. Ignores them, it ignores a court order, but the Justice Department can also say, like, simply, we're not going to do that. So it really doesn't look like holding someone in contempt has much force of law, but it is symbolic. It is only the second time, I believe, that this has happened with the attorney general. But where this will likely end up is in the courts to try to get the Trump administration to hand this over.
Also possibly headed to the courts, former White House lawyer Don McGahn was ordered by the executive branch to not comply with a subpoena from the Judiciary Committee to turn over documents and testify. What are the Democrats hoping to hear from him after he played a big role in the Mueller report?
Well, this is all about obstruction of justice and whether Trump obstructed justice, because Robert Mueller obviously left that question more open. And Don McGahn, basically, his role in this is supposedly that Trump told him to get rid of Robert Mueller, and McGahn refused. And then supposedly, there was a New York Times story that came out about this, and Trump wanted McGahn to correct the record and put in writing something for their internal records or to release to the public that the New York Times story is false. And so there's a question of whether was the story false and Trump simply wanted to correct the record, or was he trying to create a paper trail that obscured what actually happened which further indicates that he was trying to obstruct justice. And so that is why Democrats want to hear from Don McGahn. What did Trump order you to do exactly with regards to Robert Mueller and, you know, sort of rewriting the record of history?
Talking to Amanda Turkle from the Huffington Post, looking at some of the big news in national politics. We'll get to your calls in just a moment. Want to give a listen, though, to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. He says he's fed up with these investigations going on the other side of the of Capitol Hill. Here's what he had to say about the Mueller report earlier this week.
They told everyone there'd been a conspiracy between Russia and the Trump campaign. Yet on this central question, the special counsel's finding is clear. Case closed.
He said, time to wrap up talking about the Mueller report. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, though, had this to say in response to McConnell.
So our leader says, let's move on. It's sort of like Richard Nixon saying, let's move on at the height of the investigation of his wrongdoing. Of course, he wants to move on. He wants to cover up. He wants to silence on one of the most serious issues we face.
So, Amanda, Republican leader in the Senate saying enough's enough. Top Senate Democrat saying, why Congress are you trying to stop this? Or why, McConnell, are you trying to stop this? What's the latest on the Senate side of things here?
Well, you know, this isn't really going to go anywhere in the Senate. But, you know, I will say in terms of Bill Barr, you don't really need both branches of Congress to declare someone in contempt. So House Democrats can do this on their own. You know, that's why a lot of people say pursuing impeachment isn't useful because you would need the Senate, which is controlled by Republicans, to go along with it. But House, you know, on the House side, that's where the power is. Democrats control it. They can do these investigations on their own. You're not seeing much in the Senate because you have Mitch McConnell there who is defending Trump because he wants, you know, to pass judges, to get judges through and to, you know, protect this Republican agenda.
Bring our callers in now at 800-642-1234. Charlie starts us off in Milwaukee. Charlie, hi.
Hi. This morning, The Hill reported that Kathleen Kavalchuk of the FBI met with Daniel Steele prior to any FISA warrants and noted that Daniel Steele had a political agenda and that this report was not to be believed. The question that I had then, or comment from your guest, is that it appears that from the word go, that this was a quote-unquote trumped-up situation, and as such, isn't the case closed? Shouldn't we move onward, and shouldn't we compromise to do what's right for the country rather than focus on more division and more things that are wrong?
Charlie, thanks for the call. And that's the argument we're hearing from Republicans, from Mitch McConnell and the president, of course, on down, Amanda.
Sure. And I think that's why some Democrats are a little nervous about going forward with something like impeachment, because it is so divisive and may turn off people who may not even like President Trump that much. But, you know, in terms of the case being closed, I think what Democrats are saying is that it's not. Robert Mueller's, you know, did the most thorough investigation of this. And whether Trump obstructed justice or not, he basically left it in Congress's hands to determine that. And he said he didn't come to a conclusion on obstruction of justice because he didn't feel like it was his job to. Now, Attorney General Bill Barr did, and he cleared Trump of that. But I don't think Democrats buy that because Bill Barr was handpicked by Trump to be Attorney General and has shown himself to be someone who basically is defending Trump at all costs. So Democrats believe are taking sort of what the Mueller report says and saying it's now up to us to pursue this further, to take what Mueller has, investigate it more, and it's for us to make the determination of whether Trump obstructed justice.
Thanks for that call, Charlie. Mike joins us now in St. Lawrence. Mike, hi.
Hey, how you guys doing? Yeah, my opinion is that Democrats should not pursue impeachment at this point in time. I think they ought to go after the Senate. And they only need three or four seats. I would put my attention there and my money and all of my energy instead of having 22 people running for the presidency. Once they have the Senate, Trump does not have any backup. Mitch McConnell will be gone, and then you can pursue impeachment, and we can get to the bottom of the entire Mueller investigation, the Russian thing, and the whole shot.
Mike, thanks for the call. We'll get into that presidential field in a little bit. But at least in a lot of popular opinion, a lot of people are with Mike and saying don't pursue impeachment, at least for now. But a lot of people seem to be open to further investigations. Is that what you're seeing, Amanda?
Yes, that's it. That seems to be the position of Democrats. I mean, a lot of Democrats are very nervous about, you know, looking at what happened to Republicans when they pursued impeachment of Bill Clinton in the following midterm elections. They didn't really do all that well. And Clinton remained incredibly popular. And the public were disgusted with Republicans going after him so aggressively. And so Democrats are very nervous about that happening this time. You have other Democrats saying, look, we have a responsibility to do this. I think Democrats are getting frustrated by Trump because it's like he's ignoring everything we say. He's ignoring our demands, our requests, our subpoenas, and we're supposed to be a co-equal branch of government. So if we don't actually stand up for ourselves and do something, we look weak and we're weakening the institution. So, you know, politically, impeachment may not be the right thing for Democrats and may harm them. But again, I think there are some people who are saying that morally and just for the institution, it's where we need to go. But I would say that you're right, that right now, most Democrats are not in Congress, are not on the impeachment train and just want more investigations.
Thanks for that call. We continue our conversation with Amanda Turkle, Washington Bureau Chief of the Huffington Post, looking at the week's big political news. Back to some of your calls on the standoff between Democrats in the U.S. House and the White House. Marsha is with us in Dodgeville. Marsha, hi.
Hi.
What do you think?
I would prefer they turn their attention to actually doing the business of the government. And I've heard enough, and I'm absolutely fed up. Both sides, absolutely fed up.
All right, Marsha, thanks a lot for the call. There was a meeting between President Trump and Democratic leaders working on an infrastructure plan, Amanda, that would try to do kind of what she said, even while all this stuff's going on, try to do some of the business. Do you think anything's coming out of that infrastructure deal they tentatively arrived at?
Honestly, not really. Infrastructure is something that seems to come up every now and then. Trump has expressed interest in infrastructure. Democrats and Republicans say they want it too. I mean, for good reason. The nation's infrastructure, roads, bridges, and all that are crumbling and desperately need repair, and it would create a lot of jobs. And it's just something that needs to be done. And it's something that basically only the federal government can, you know, the government can do. But, you know, Trump and Democrats, you know, aren't in the same place on what sort of deal they would want. And what sort of deal would look like. And like right now, it just doesn't seem like much is going to get through Congress. So I wouldn't put a lot of hope in something happening anytime soon. And as you've seen in the past, Trump and Democrats seem to have meetings, seem to reach a deal, and then Trump will change his mind for some reason or back out. And, you know, so no, unfortunately, not right now.
Thanks for that call. Tom joins us in Port Wing now. Tom, hi.
Hi. I think all of this is a fool's errand, directing all this stuff into the courts. And the Trump administration knows that. And if the Democrats go into 2020 with nothing accomplished, they will have played directly into the president's hands.
Tom, thanks for the call. I've seen this argument, and I think Nancy Pelosi said something like the president used the word goaded earlier, and I think she did too, is trying to goad Democrats into impeachment, thinking that that ultimately benefits him.
Yes. I mean, Pelosi all along has been not in favor of impeachment, and she's trying to keep her members who want impeachment happy that maybe she's open to it, but also she doesn't want to seem to be encouraging it. You know, if it does go to the courts, it could be tied up there for a really long time, and I don't think you're going to see any resolution anytime soon, and that's probably just fine for the White House because they can just sort of wait this out. But Pelosi and Democratic leaders are trying very hard to say, look, we're focusing on, for example, these economic issues and these issues that people say they care about. But, you know, we'll see how much the base gets upset. And I mean, you know, what really does animate the Democratic base is getting rid of Trump. They don't all agree on how to do that. But if Trump continues to defy Congress, you know, the mood might change a little bit.
Thanks a lot for all your calls on that. I want to move on to a couple other issues. One last point of conflict. I assume it's not the last, actually, Amanda, but President Trump's tax returns, the House Ways and Means Committee looking for recent tax returns. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says, nope. What's the status of that standoff right now?
Once again, this is probably something that will end up in the courts. Right now, they've requested them. Mnuchin said no. The next step is actually probably a subpoena. I'm assuming that the Trump administration won't comply with that, and it could go to the courts. But, you know, Congress, there is a law that Congress that says Congress can request the tax returns of anyone. And, you know, this has never happened. And they've done this fairly regularly, but they've never requested the tax returns of a president because every president has released their tax returns voluntarily since Richard Nixon. So this is incredibly unprecedented. And again, I expect the Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin, to continue to deny Democratic demands. And the New York Times obviously put out a story yesterday for a 10-year period, just sort of showing the big picture that Trump lost quite a bit of money during this 10-year period. But, you know, I don't think we'll be seeing them probably anytime soon.
We're talking to Amanda Turkle from Huffington Post, looking at the big stories in national politics. Want to turn over to the 2020 presidential primary. You've written about this some, Amanda. Candidates, including most recently Senator Bernie Sanders, releasing their plans on agricultural policy. What kind of things are we hearing from Senator Sanders and others?
Well, there's a lot of focus, and we went to Iowa and we hosted a 2020 forum in Storm Lake, Iowa, and we talked to some of the presidential candidates, and separately I interviewed Bernie Sanders about sort of corporate power in the agribusiness sector. There's been increased consolidation, vertical integration, and it's just really hard for family farmers to sort of break out of this, to get sort of labor rights and to just, you know, basically eke out a living and get better wages and survival. And so Bernie Sanders has called for a moratorium on agriculture mergers. And that's something that Elizabeth Warren also supports. Cory Booker has supported that. I had asked Senator Amy Klobuchar if she supported that, and she said she wanted to take it more case by case. But in general, what all these candidates have in common is that they just want more oversight of corporate mergers in the agribusiness industry so that you don't get these conglomerates controlling such a large portion of the market as we see in the poultry industry.
And on messaging, it seems like they're taking the candidates you mentioned, their message of, you know, against the big guy in favor of the little guy that they may have applied to, you know, Wall Street banks and others. And they're looking to bring that to have a rural related message that fits their overall theme.
Right, exactly. And I think, you know, it's interesting to see that these candidates going into rural America and not necessarily feeling like they have to go to the middle, that they're still going with this sort of populist or progressive message of, like you said, taking on big corporations, but being like, look, it's affecting you in these rural areas as well.
So staying with this field of now over 20 Democratic candidates, do you have a sense of a timeline when you think this might start to narrow? Or, I don't know, are more people waiting in the wings? We're going to end up at 30.
I don't know. There might be more people coming in. I don't know about that. But I think we have the big people in by now who are going to be the front runners. Where you'll probably see things start to change is after the first debate in June, because – you know, you're going to have two nights of debates and the candidates are going to be on the stage sort of randomly. So it won't be all the front runners one night and all the lower tier candidates the next night. Everyone's going to be mixed up. And then you'll really see the candidates maybe start to go after each other a little bit. You'll see them head to head distinguish themselves on policy, who seems like they could be on a stage with President Trump in a way that they could win. And so I think that's when, you know, candidates then see a surge of support, extra fundraising, and where the field will change a little bit.
What do you see just in our last couple of minutes about how candidates are trying to distinguish themselves from each other now? What leaps out at you at this stage in the game?
Well, you know, there are candidates, if you're, you know, someone like Elizabeth Warren, for example, you're trying to do that with policy. She's releasing a ton of detailed policy proposals and trying to be the candidate who sort of has a plan for everything. But then there are other candidates who, you know, you see, but what every candidate is doing is sort of electability. And so that's Warren's way of like, you know, I have these solutions. I have a plan that I think will appeal to people. Other people are saying, like Joe Biden, you know, I can win back voters who went for Trump in Midwestern states. You see other people like Cory Booker saying that I can sort of rebuild the Obama coalition and bring people together. You know, Senator Kamala Harris saying that she can win over a lot of women and Black voters who are sort of the backbone of the Democratic Party. So every candidate is trying to pitch themselves as the most electable. I guess it's sort of what you think, what you sort of you prioritize and what you think is actually the most effective way to do it. If you're looking at the Midwest, is it bringing back some of those Trump voters into the Democratic Party, or is it going after a lot of those voters of color who just stayed home in 2016 and didn't vote for Hillary Clinton?
We'll leave it there. Amanda, thanks again for joining us today.
Great. Thank you.
That's Amanda Turkle, the Washington Bureau Chief for The Huffington Post. She was with us for our weekly roundup of some of the top stories in national politics.